time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. Back. Yeah. Few days left of Black History Year 2021. Finishing up strong.
Yeah.
You know, how you doing?
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm doing real good, actually.
That's what's up.
You know, life stuff, but I'm doing good.
Okay. I could dig it. I hear that. Yeah, life is going life.
Life is life.
You know what I mean? Life is, that shit, yeah. Life is out here life. And if it ain't, it's a problem. So I guess, you know, as long as you contended with some living problems, it's all good.
Yeah, but, I guess so, huh?
You know, yeah, shit, because, you know, it could be nothing on the screen. I don't want that. You know what I mean? And it, oh, shit. Man. What was I going to say, dude? I was speaking of life is worth life, and I was just watching a George Carlin special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, George Carlin's one of my favorite comedians, and I haven't watched his stuff in a minute, but my sister gave me, this was about a year or two ago, she gave me as a gift a box set of all of his specials. And what was the one I was just watching right now? Hold on a second. Damn. Hold on 1 second. I'll tell you exactly what it was. The name of the one I was just watching was called, really dragging it. And of course, the shit is on the DVD that's in the, it's a DVD situation. But, where's the shit? Don't have it on the thing? Hold on. After all of this. Oh, it was called Life is Worth Losing. Speaking of all that shit we talking about, and this is one where he does it in front of like these makeshift graves. So, you know what I like about George, I mean, he could be dark and cynical as fuck, right? But his comedy, his wordplay is so crazy. Like, his wordplay is one of the, it's lyrical, you know. It's so dense. It's so like, his little turn of phrases, how he plays with all types of different things. Like, it's a, especially to, you know, he did it all the way till he died. So, like, he's pretty old in this one. I don't know exactly how old, but he's pretty old in this one. And, like, his, just him retaining all of this stuff that he's talking about. Like, he goes through, if we talk about it, like, on some bars type of analogy, he spit at least 64 bars in the first 2 minutes, like, these word plays, I'm such and such that, like, kind of, like, he does a whole lot of commentary on what's going on in culture and kind of, you know, taking it down a notch, like, really cutting into the shit. He's a problem, man, but, yeah, it was pretty good. So it's the best of George Carlin. I was watching his joint. And, yeah, it's just funny that you said, you know, we talk about life out here, life, and then that was just a funny thing. Life is worth losing. And, you know, he first, like, the first, after he does that whole 64 bars of all of that shit, you know, he's like, yo, I got 365 days sober. This is my 50th year in the business. Let's do a show. And then he starts talking about, he goes into this whole bit about suicide and, you know, why people, you know, where do you get the time to even kill yourself? And then he goes through this whole shit about, like, a motherfucker going through all of the various ways to kill himself, but then talking himself out of it. Like, you know what I mean? Not even talking himself out of it, but, like, just failing a little bit. Like, obviously, it sounds dark as hell, but the way he puts it together is hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I was watching a little earlier today.
Okay. I mean, I guess, you know, if you've been in a scenario, guess you could make a joke about it, huh?
I get, you know, and look, I guess, and obviously this was years ago, not super long ago, but this was probably at least 20 years ago that joint came out, and obviously sensitivities are different, and, you know, no disrespect to anybody that has battled with suicide or dealt with suicide or was, you know, the survivor of suicide. I don't even know if they really call it. Oh yeah, they call it suicide. But you know,
I wasn't saying it in that respect of like, you know.
No, I was doing that, you know, just to, you know, just for the cancellation of it all. I hate that fucking these cancellation disclaimers. Actually, you know, I'm so sorry that my conversation veered into the uncomfortable. But go ahead.
I was just listening to what you were saying, and you know, as you following along, you know, your mind go with it, you know. And so he's like, you know, contemplating it. What struck me was like contemplating the ways. I'm like, damn.
Right.
Like I guess you actually do have to contemplate how you gonna do this.
Yeah.
I think by the time I got to that point, I'd be like, well, shit, I can contemplate how to do some other shit.
That was his whole point. That was his whole point. It's like, well, where you get the time? He was talking about, you know, going through all of this dude about to hang himself. And he's like, damn, well, you know, shit, I got to get a rope. I don't even got a rope. I mean, I got the old rope, but that's got grease on it. I don't want that shit on my neck. He's like, I could probably, you know, they got a rope sale down at Walmart next week. Maybe I could wait on that. But I mean, I could get it now. I mean, shit, if I put it on the credit card, I'll just kill myself. And it'll just be on Walmart. I'm not going to pay for it. You know, some shit like that. I'm trying to find a razor blade, and then he can't open the pack and whatever, whatever. And then he gets through all that shit. And he's like, yo, shit, I got to write a note. He's like, all right, fuck, we are high. I'm going to write this note. And he's like, okay, where's the date? Goes to the left side or the right side? I always forget. Fucking da da da. And he was like, he said, you know, it's funny shit. He said, your writer probably gets so caught up in editing his suicide note that he'll forget to commit suicide.
Right.
Because it'll take a year for him to really get the perfect note, but it'll be so good that it'll be a book pitch, and he'll get a book deal. He got a reason to live. Like, it's just, the shit just spirals into a whole bunch of shit. And I'm not really doing it any true justice because I'm paraphrasing it. But man, yeah, he's a beast. He is a beast. Yeah.
So that's what's up.
That's what I was doing a couple hours ago.
Oh, okay. True indeed. That's what's up. Get some good comedy inspiration.
A little bit. I think so. I think I got a little, you know. You always try to cultivate some inspiration. I did, I think, from him, just to see, like, how old he was and still how spirited his comedy was. Like, how present he was. Like, he, you know, he was older, but he was still spry. Like, he's still doing a full hour and some change. Like I told you, his recall is bananas. I started to wonder, was he using, you know, sometimes when you start doing shit, certain things are ruining the magic. Mm-hmm. But like, because I always thought, like, when comedians do their hours, and this is not true for everybody, but I always thought when comedians do their hours, you know, they just run the set. They just kind of, you know it. And you do typically at least two shows and you pick the best out the two or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that. Oftentimes, either in the way back on the wall at the back of the house, or maybe on a monitor by the speakers to where the audience can't see, they'll have either like the set list, or some people will even have all of the jokes. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, dog, how does this cat remember? Like, when I say it's dense with just the this, that, you know, like, it's ridiculous. I'm like, damn, in his 60s, I think he died at maybe 69, 65, something like that. So, like, at that point, to just hear recall be that sharp, and it was a couple times I seen him kind of look down, and it wasn't like him, I don't know if he was just looking down to kind of catch his next door or looking down to look at the monitor or whatever. But, you know, I've seen some, you know, some of the greats, when they were taping their special, they'll have the little monitor in the back. And I'm like, okay, interesting. And it kind of spoiled it a little bit. Like, I thought, you know what I mean? It killed the magic a little bit. But, you know, shit, it's a tool. It's useful.
when we were shooting Chappelle, somebody was trying to say, and I'm not sure if it's even true because I couldn't spot no notes, that he was peeking at notes when he goes for the lighter. To light the cigarette.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
Because, you know, it's very, a very deliberate draw from the lighter to the light the cigarette right. to the take a puff.
Right, right.
Yeah, he probably reading his notes. I was like, ah, I can't tell.
Yeah.
I couldn't yeah. catch it.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's just sorting his thoughts.
Mm-hmm, probably. And it's a device, too, because it kind of builds tension.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes he might almost about to light a cigarette and then not light a cigarette. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize that shit, but it'll have you, like, on edge a little bit. Like, is this motherfucker ever going to? Like, there's a comedian, Talent. You ever heard of Talent? You know Talent.
Mm-mm.
He used to be on Def Jam a lot.
I heard the name before.
Yeah. He used to have that catchphrase, it's just comedy.
Oh, yeah.
He was funny as shit. He's still out here getting his shit off. But one thing that I never peeped until he pointed it out, like, if you watch him on Def Jam, he would always, when he was on Def Jam, he would always have, like, a Heineken bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he have a Heineken in his hand, and he's performing, got the mic in the other hand, and he would, like, almost bring the Heineken up to take a sip, but he never took a sip throughout the whole set. Like, he got the Heineken,
mm-hmm.
but it was just, like, some shit to kind of fuck with you, or even just something. Sometimes you could use that to, you know, I guess, you know, something, you know, if you, like, I don't want to say nervous, but if you, you know what I mean? So, yeah, to occupy your other hand, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just, it became such of a device. And sometimes, you know, he might bring it up to where he kind of want to take a beat.
Mm-hmm.
So you think he about to take a sip. So as an audience member, you like, all right, let that man, you know, do his thing. And then he get back into it, you know?
True.
It's interesting. I always like watching that type of stuff.
Nah, no doubt. That's, you know, yeah. Tools of the craft.
Tools of the craft. Yeah. So it was good. I'm probably going to watch another one maybe later on this week. A bunch of them on these DVDs.
That's what's up. Yeah, man. Shit, I'm out here, man. Trying to work on the craft.
Yeah.
And this docuseries that a nigga still banging out.
Yeah, man. So, how's it going?
It's going good. You know, it's just a lot of moving parts and a very short timeline to get it done. So it's, you know, it's probably the most pressure-driven project that I've ever been a part of. And as well as, you know, it's a lot of the logistics, you know what I'm saying? Which, you know, I'm realizing, you know, in the process of it, I'm kind of proud of myself because I feel like I'm doing a good job with my logistics and making sure keeping the game on track, you know, as far as timing and accomplishing the missions, you know what I'm saying? Because every step, you got to accomplish a certain thing, you know, every shoot, you got to accomplish a certain thing. So I think I'm doing a good job there, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's one of those situations where everything has to go right. So there's like no room for nothing to go wrong. You know, you can't be late for a flight, can't be delayed. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything got to go right. And it's almost impossible for everything to go right. So just going through that shit. And even when shit do go off, you know, you're able to adjust and reconfigure and kind of bend time a little bit. But like, I think the main tool, you talk about tools of the trade that and I found myself using, and I've used it before, but it was never as important as it is now in this project, because it's like I'm using, you know, just like a vibe check. You know what I'm saying? Make sure your vibe is right at every turn.
A personal vibe check or amongst
like
your
a bunch of, amongst everybody. Crew,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yourself, people you working with, you know what I'm saying? Because even in some of the cases where, you know, a place where you're going, you know what I'm saying, the vibe is off, you know what I'm saying? It typically turns out not how you want it, you know what I'm saying? Because it's something in the vibe that's off, and you can't control everybody's vibe. But the ones you can control yours, and you can try to maintain a certain vibe around your crew, you know what I'm saying? And making sure that everybody is checking that shit at the door. And it's been working, you know what I'm saying? It's like when you see it go to the left and you course correct, you know what I'm saying? You see, things start to fall in place again. You know what I mean? It's like you can almost see it going off track, and you're like, oh nah, nothing can go off track. Let's check on that. And it's simple. It's like nothing that you're really doing, but it's like say you know, you hire somebody to do a thing and they come late. You know what I'm saying? That's something that can be complained about, right? You know what I'm saying? You'll have people that want to complain about, like, yo, man, fuck, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know what I'm saying? Did they come in time for us to accomplish the mission? Yes. Then don't worry about that shit right now. You know what I'm saying? Because we dwell on that, that's going to spill over into something else later. You know what I'm saying? And I've seen it not on this particular project, but I've seen on a project where, you know, it was something simple as, you know, the piece of equipment not functioning how it's supposed to function. And it's like, damn, we got this new piece of equipment. Why don't we just go back to the old piece of equipment? And then I'm just like, where's the old piece of equipment? And then somebody might volunteer and say, you know what? I got it at the house. I could just go get it. How long will it take? Take 30 there, 30 back. I was like, all right, cool. We'll still have 30 minutes to spare. Bet. Go get it. Then they go get it. But inside of themselves, they mad the whole way. You know what I'm saying? They mad. Like, fuck, I got to go all the way home and get this shit. Yeah, damn, I want to go get this shit. Then on the way back, you know what I'm saying? He got us checking in on the ETA. Motherfuckers checking in on me. Motherfucker, shit, I went and got this motherfucker. You don't leave me. I'm going to get there when I get there. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if this is the words that are being used. But it's the attitude, right? So then, but you don't know all that's going on until they get back in the room. Then they get back in the room, and it's like, boom, bam, appreciate it, boy, you say today. But then they look a little huffy, you know what I'm saying? Like, damn, he's a little huffy and puffy. So then they go over there, drop the fucking piece of equipment that they went and got. Break it. Psh, damn, you know what I'm saying? So now we forced to use the piece that wasn't operating how we wanted to work with, because that's the only way we're going to get this shit done. So now we back to square one, trying to figure that shit out. Then, you know, and then you almost break that because you mad the whole way. Like, wait a minute. Now you done broke two pieces of equipment and one fucking shoe? Now, this is crazy. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, this can't be, you know? And so that's like when I paid attention to it. Like, damn, a whole vibe could turn something all the way into something else. Now, we got through it. We was able to move forward. But it was like a lesson in like, yo, you got to do a vibe check, man. When you're trying to accomplish these goals, every step of the way, you got to be checking, making sure everybody is vibe is right. Now, listen, in my mind, it's like, yo, my man volunteered to do a thing that was going to help. You know what I'm saying? Which is admirable. But then you get back, he mad about it, like, shit, this is going to go on my invoice. That's understandable. Like, you know what I'm saying? No, that is correct. It is. You know what I'm saying? Put it on the invoice. Give yourself a tip, too. But you saying it like you mad about it. Like, damn, why you mad? Like, you know it's going to get paid. But, you know what I'm saying? You just didn't like that it had to happen. You know what I mean? And so whatever other reasons, I don't know. I'm just saying the vibe turned into lost money on both sides. You know what I'm saying? Lost time. But you end up making it across the line. So it ain't really nothing to really dwell on again and again. But you like, man, I don't need that vibe on the set no more. You know? So then you just do it like that.
That vibe is checked off.
Right. You know what I mean? Because you can't afford it. Because you made it through this time. But you might not the next.
Let me ask you this. How would you, given that scenario it was to happen again, how would you handle it to where you could kind of manage the vibe on the person that went out and volunteered to do that but came back in a huff because they feel like they was going out of their way? Like, what would you do different?
Now, see, ever since that happened to me earlier this year, I've been operating differently ever since, because I had to check myself, because I know, because I came a little later than I normally would, And when I got there, it was already a certain energy going around, you know what I mean, that I wasn't part of, and I couldn't pinpoint it. So from that moment on, I try to get to a space early, and then I get to the space, and I do a vibe check, you know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody could, where we at with it, you know what I'm saying? How we moving along? Check on shit early, even if it's a, you know, off energy in the room. Just check on stuff early enough in order to fix the problem, even if it is a problem, you know? And, again, you can't correct people's energy, but you can make it aware that this is a certain kind of energy in this space, because we got to get this done, especially on this docu-series project, because, again, it's no room for variables or mistakes at all. Because you're going to miss the deadline. So you got to make sure that each mission is successful.
I hear that. Yeah.
So far, so good. That's, you know, cool. What I'm saying? And
yeah.
Now we just got to get in post and make sure that we complete what we set out to do.
Yeah. That sounds good, man.
So that's what I've been on, man. You know, doing a little energy work. Shit.
Yeah. 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 That's good shit. That's tough.
Right. But
it's tough to do.
But it's like, mm-hmm. It's not like you could read a book on that shit. You know what I'm saying? You just be stumbling into it and be like, oh shit, what's going on?
Right.
Cause you could easily blame it on just, you know, circumstances, or it's just that person. Cause it ain't even necessarily that person. It just could be that person is having an off moment that throws off a whole lot of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what you got to do is try to make sure that in the space is like, nah, this is not a place for off. You know what I mean? If you're off, let's check it. Let's figure it out. Let's, you know what I mean? We good? And most times people don't want to be off. And so when you ask them about it, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, course correct.
Right. Speaking of vibe checks, I realize, on another note, you kind of got to change your playlist, you know what I mean? Almost as often as you change your linens. Maybe not as frequently, but it matters damn near as much. Like, because about vibes, you know, like you could be driving to some shit that has you in a certain mood, and it might have been a playlist that you created a year ago, and it was a great playlist for that year ago, you know, it set the vibe for how you felt and what you were trying to accomplish, or whatever you were trying to, whatever energy you were trying to conjure, but you might have outgrown a lot of that shit, you know? I'm dead serious. I just realized that. I was riding to a play. I was like, I've been listening to this playlist for a while, and I like it. You know, there's shit on there, but I was like, I could spruce this up. I could, you know, this is starting to feel a little staid, you know? And then when I, you know, so I'm in the middle of switching up, making some new playlists, like trying to also just to discover shit too, like to add some new stuff, some new artists, some new vibes just to the mix. And you know, and as I'm doing that, sometimes, you know, I really like a good sequence, you know, come from the old school make a mixtape era, so where sequencing was super key. You know, nowadays, you know, shuffle is cool, but I think it's the easy way out, and it's a gamble. You know what I mean? It's great when it's great, but then sometimes it'll just fuck up the groove a little bit. So, you know, it's just on some related shit. I was like, yeah, sometimes just on another vibe level. And it made me think of that, too, because I know the cat, I'm going to say his name wrong, something Jesse James, I think, the dude that wrote or directed the Harder They Come movie. You know, they filmed that in the midst of COVID, and he was like, you know, shit was real somber. It was real uncertain because it's in the midst of COVID. Nobody really knew what it was. You know, Idris caught COVID. He was like one of the first to, you know, people of note, you know what I mean, in the entertainment industry to catch COVID. So that took him down. And then when they finally got back, you know, COVID had people in limbo, and things weren't what they used to be. This was all all a whole new thing. And he was like, you know, just to keep the vibe up, he would blast music between, you know, setups, between scenes. Like after everybody shot and they stopped down, he would just blast music to make it a party. And then when it was time to act again, they, you know, turn everything off and they get back to it. But then as soon as they hit, you know, cut, boom, boom, it's like a whole nother vibe, you know. So it's very important, you know, and to your point, like it's very important. And it's you got to be real intuitive, especially, you know, like, you know, you saying you working against logistics already. Mm-hmm. So that's going to add a whole lot of pressure to the creative energy, you know, in the environment. So to be on point with that and kind of keep that shit, keep the flames stoked.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't just
like me. You know what I'm saying? It's like for certain missions, you got to bring certain kind of people. You know what I mean? And it's like you have to already kind of know, these type of people not going to be worried about, you know what I'm saying, little things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
These people are mission-oriented, you know what I mean? We got a mission. You're going to get paid for it. Can you accomplish it? And there's people that be like, yep, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Then there's people that want to know a whole bunch of shit. You know, how long would that, you know, that's a tight timeline. That's, you know, that's kind of impossible. You already know they can't really come on that particular mission. Not that those are not important questions, because they are. But at the end of the day, a lot of it is, you know, yes or no. You know what I mean? Can you do it? Can you not? And it's not personal, and I don't feel no kind of way if somebody can't do it, because it's like, I know what I'm asking is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like sometimes it's a crazy ask, and but it's some people that's built for it, you know. And I've gotten a lot of work on a crazy ask. I've really built my thing because people realize that, hey, you know what I'm saying, all right, if it's last minute, if it's, you know what I'm saying, you gotta jump on this plane and get to this and not do this and buying three cities. You know, I wasn't tripping on it. I was like, shit, because I was really in it for the opportunity. I was, you know what I mean? And right. Anytime that you could solve a certain kind of problem, then, you know, you felt like you accomplished. You're like, damn, I really got that done. You know what I mean? And now that ain't the place where you want to stay. You know what I mean? And it's not the optimal place that you want to be. But in that place, I feel like I thrive. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like my man say, I was born in the dark. You just adopted it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, I've been in this position figuring shit out. You know what I mean? And having to figure shit out without all the necessary luxuries to figure it out. It's like, oh shit. You know, it's almost MacGyver theory. You know, everything you need, you already got. And being able to understand that and know that from young, it helps in these kind of situations, because even when it seems impossible, it's just like, really, at the end of the day, it's an equation. It's time, it's resources, and, you know, the allocation of resources. And so it might not be a straight line. Right? We're going to put money on this and that, and sometimes money can't solve that problem. Sometimes it's money helps solve the problem, but you got to really get creative, because you ain't got the time to even spend the money. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I got enough budget. I could get the superstar editor or a superstar shooter, but that superstar shooter is not finna sign up for this type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Because they need superstar shit. So you got to get somebody that could do that. Who is that person? What is their makeup? What do they need? And how can you get them? That's the equation. Then you run with it. But that's what I'm going on. Go ahead.
Nah. All right. So let me ask you this. Since you become good at moving in that, in a like frenetic setting. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you could be comfortable in that. Mm-hmm. How comfortable are you when it's all smooth sailing?
Like, it depends. If it's smooth sailing and slow, I'm not as comfortable. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? If it's smooth sailing and it's still an upbeat pace, then that's I'm used to. Like, it's like I'm used to running a West Coast style of basketball. You know what I'm saying? Upbeat, let's go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you put me in a system that's more, you know, slow, you know what I'm saying, control the tempo type of thing, I might not thrive, you know what I'm saying, in that scenario, because what happens in those types of scenarios is that when everything's comfortable and the pace is, you know, mild, you get a lot of extra steps that you don't need to take, you know what I mean, because everybody's chiming in and everybody want to review and go over and have a meeting, and that shit slows shit up, and it steals some of the creative energy out of shit, you know? So when it's not enough time to debate on a lot of shit, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just straight go. You know what I mean? You don't have time to really be sitting back overthinking shit, because I could do that too. You know what I'm saying? Especially if it gets slow and you got time. Like, all right, shit. And can we do it another way? Let's reshoot that. You know what I mean? But, you know, so I don't know. I just know that it don't have to be this. It don't have to be a fire drill, but it has to have pace. You know what I'm saying? It has to have, you know, a lot of elements that's got to go. And I think it leaves my brain with no time to bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Brain just gotta, all right, we gotta do this, do that, do that, this, blah, blah. All right, we gotta be in this particular city interviewing at 12:30. There's no direct flights, you know what I'm saying? You can't get there till 11:30. Still gotta pick up a camera kit in a whole nother city because that city don't got this type of camera. How we gonna do that shit? Then you figure it out. You send somebody in that city to go get the shit, bing, bing. You fly one person in this position. They drive down with the shit. Then you fly in, go straight to the interview because they already there to set that shit up. Do that shit, boom, 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 hop in the Sprinter, and dip. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to time that shit in between your already scheduled meetings and shit. And somehow that shit all works out.
There you go.
The game. That's it. Love the game. Love the game.
You got to play against whatever defense is out there.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's
play that audible.
Yeah, and it's not even a flex. It's just, you know what I'm saying, as a problem solver, mm-hmm. it feels good to be able to solve problems, you know? And to make moves out of impossible situations and be like, oh, wow, that worked. Damn. So everybody said no.
And it's a premium. It looks good.
Right.
You're a problem solver. Motherfuckers is quick. They'll call you. They'll call you under. If the motherfucker could call you under duress
mm-hmm.
and the shit get handled, you are a fixer.
Right.
You know, that's it. And that shit come with some money.
Right.
That come with, you know.
Right.
Yeah, which is a beautiful thing.
But at the end of the day, that's all I ever wanted to be. You know what I'm saying? I didn't necessarily call it a fixer. I just know when people had a problem, and they be like, man, we need to call such and such. He could pull some strings. That's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be that dude that people would call when the shit needed to get done. For whatever reason, that was very intriguing to me as a kid. Because it'd be like, oh shit, you know, you already seeing what the problem is and what everybody going through, like dealing with the problem, like, oh man, damn. You know what? We need to call my man. Who? You know what I'm saying? You know, he can pull some strings. And they call it. Next thing you know, everybody calm and the shit is done. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
That motherfucker is all right. That's what I want.
Should have called me first.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's why I got that. I came up with that slogan. Like, you know, first call Muhammad. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, I need to be your first call. That's a personal slogan. First call Muhammad.
I heard that.
But
That's good to know, man. It's good to know your strengths and shit like that. But yeah. No, I'm serious. It's good to know.
If I ever in the jam, I'm gonna call you.
Right.
We'll test you out, see if it worked.
Oh shit. I'm in the midst of some technology woes right now myself. Just silly shit, you know, like dumb shit that I got to get taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when, so I just got a couple things. I got, there's somehow my notes just disappeared on my Mac. I don't know what happened. All I know is I had some notes. I had like a little glitch going on my notes app on my iPhone. Like sometimes I'd go to the page that the notes was on and it'd be blank.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd have to basically close out the notes app, open it back up, and then the page would be there again.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes the notes that I wrote would be super small print. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So that had been a little glitch going on for about, you know, about a week. And you know how you just manage with the glitch. Once you learn a fix around the glitch, sometimes you don't all the way fix the problem. But you're like, oh, okay, I see how to work. I figured out a workaround, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and move these because it was only happening to these notes in one folder. And I'm not sure if it was an iCloud folder. And, you know, I don't really rock with the iCloud except on a couple things. And I don't think notes is one of them, but could be. Anyway, so I cut and paste stuff, and I put it in another folder just so I could have it. It was funny because some of the stuff that I cut and paste that was super small, when I brought it into the other thing, it went back to regular size, right? So I got all of that. I thought, cool, problem solved, right? I cracked my laptop open earlier today to go into my notes. I have no notes in this motherfucker. None at all. Excuse me. I hope that ain't the vid. But I had no notes in this shit. And I'm like, fuck. So I'm trying to figure out where these notes is at. So I'm in the midst of that process of tracking it down.
Are they still on your phone?
Yeah. They still on my phone, but I'm not sure if they're the same notes.
Mm.
You know, like, because sometimes it's just whatever is closest. I feel like they could be, but I think there was certain, you know, I'd have to double back and see if these were just the iCloud notes, and if they were, then that means they were all pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
If not, I might have to do some time machine shit, whatever, whatever. So I got that going on. Then I got some shit going on with my website. Is like I keep getting these messages, like the website is trying to, you know, like I like my little data collection. Like if somebody becomes like a subscriber to my newsletter or whatever, they, you know, they sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow the forms are not being able to be entered. So I'm getting these emails that saying, "Yo, this person, the form couldn't be submitted." It's like a little glitch between, you know, my website host and then my newsletter host, they're not connecting, and then there was a whole fix where you gotta, you know, delete and then add again, and hopefully that'll work, and then it worked for like a week, and then the shit started happening again. So then I call the website host. Well, I ain't call them. I'm jumping on the little chat with them, and you know, now that COVID is here, everything is like, all of the wait times are double. You know what I mean? Whether you call or whether you chatting, because everybody's understaffed, it seems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like 12th in the queue, and it's a long queue. These cats is having real deal. Like these people, it's taking like at least 5 minutes between people. So it's almost an hour. So I get to where I'm like two before the queue. All of a sudden, the queue go back to 12 out of nowhere. What the fuck just happened? So then I'm on there for like 2 hours, basically. I finally get somebody to chat with. You know, the chat box isn't the same thing as having somebody on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
At least they can hear the tone of your voice. You could, you know, you could hear what they talking about. You could kind of, you got to really type the shit out and hope, you know. So we going back and forth. This person ain't got shit. And what kills me is in the midst of all of this, you know, we waiting in the queue and all of that shit, they always want to hit you with the survey. They want to hit you with the survey before they even do the job. Hey, we want to know how your experience was. Da, 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 da. So I was ready to light these motherfuckers up after they flipped me back another 12 spots in the queue. But for what some odd reason, after we closed down, no survey appeared. I guess they knew they fucked up. But that shit is whack because you going looking for closure. You know what I mean? Thinking, okay, this person on the other side, they don't know shit. All they doing is sending you links to the same shit that you found on Google. You know what I mean? If you look at here, this is probably what's going to help you out. I'm like, my man, you don't have no more intimate knowledge than what I could get on the fucking... So, yeah, then, you know, just other shit, you know. You know, we got some technology issues, even with the pod, but I'm not going to get into all of that. That's too internal. You know what I'm saying? But
we got issues?
Just, no, not between, but you know, like as far as, so, well, fuck it, the artwork, reverting back to the old ass artwork, and it's killing me because I'm like, well, what's going on here? It only really does it on the Apple platform. Mm-hmm. I'm calling Apple. I'm hitting Apple. They don't really got no real, like, you can't talk to nobody in real time about podcast issues. Mm-hmm. So you got to send them an email and then wait for them motherfuckers to hit you back, and they hit you back whenever they hit you back. And again, they hit you back with some fucking information that you could have got off of regular search. Then the, you know, the RSS feed people we was dealing with, they kind of been phased out. So now you're trying to find a whole nother situation, man. You know, I don't like putting all of this out in the world, but it is what it is. I'll tell you this. It is what it is. I mean, the people see it.
It's transparency. They hear about it every week.
Of course. And it looks crazy. So, you know, I want y'all to... I see it. We all see it. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to figure it out. If anybody is nice on podcast shit, holla at me in the messages or whatever. But, you know, yeah, transparency. And to that point, on a related note, I will say this. Just in general, I just had this thought, transparency, vulnerability particularly. Vulnerability, for me, I just realized this shit. Vulnerability, I feel most alive in those moments where I gotta be vulnerable, where I do something that puts me in a position to where I'm a little uncomfortable. Just because, and I feel like you feel like you're like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? I might have done too much. I might have put myself out. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I hope they, you know what I mean? Like, that shit, it just hit me. Because oftentimes, you're kind of, I could dodge it a little bit. I'm trying to lean in. I've been saying that shit for a little while. Trying to be more open to a whole lot of, you know, just a whole lot of shit, and try not to be avoidant of certain things or whatever. And, you know, because I do feel like the more you put yourself out there, I think the bigger the reward would be.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment, not even doing it based on what's going to come back, but just in that moment, you know, you like, yeah, like those moments, you like, oh, shit. This you feel the discomfort. It's like, you know, like if you're on the roller coaster, you get into the top of that shit, you might feel that, here we go type shit. But that's a lot. That's life. That's you like really living. That's you like your motherfucking, the hairs of your arms is coming out. You know what I mean? All of that shit, goosebump type shit. Like, it's a good thing, man. So, you know, lean in on it. I was talking about that shit last night on stage. And I believe that shit. I think there's something to it. But, yeah, that's that. I ain't got no transition.
Now, with your notes, did you go to your cloud?
I haven't checked it to the cloud just yet. This is, like, fresh. I haven't checked it to the cloud just yet. I was trying to... I'm going to check into
go,
it in
go
second,
to your iCloud. And they, the notes app is on the iCloud.
No, I know that. And I'm hoping that's probably what it is. Cause the thing is, like I told you, I don't really rock with the cloud on many things. I do it on, like, you know, my calendar, but like very little shit, calendar, email, mm-hmm. maybe notes. Mm-hmm. So if it's notes, then I might be able to just pull it off and see what's what.
I ain't know. You know what I'm saying? But I just went to my notes. Now, my cloud texts me every day. Not text me, but give me that message every day that it's out of storage. But ain't nobody tripping on that. But
man, go ahead, man. Go take this file. Stop man, fucking playing.
I mean, my computer sitting right next to me. I don't really need it at all. Sync, you know, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? I don't need another bill from Apple. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Y'all
right,
already right. in my pockets like the cable man. So listen. So I ain't about to upgrade my cloud right now. But when I went there, my notes is, you know, pretty much up to date. So notes might not take that much, a lot of storage.
Yeah, I'm going to check into it. I'm looking into it to see what's what. I'm going to do it. I might have to do a time machine or something. We'll figure this out. I'm going to get into that shit. But let's get into something a little bit more interesting, man. Rumor has it in the streets that you all the way caught up on some power.
Yeah, man. I sat there and caught up. You know what I'm saying?
That should sound like an effort. I sat there. Hey, let them fucking give me this power shit.
It became an effort, dog. Well, you got to sit there and watch them all at once. It was like, wait a fucking minute, man. Stop it.
Binging heavy, man. It
says telenovela.
It is a soap opera. Speaking of that, Luke and Laura was the couple I was talking about. I forget my man's name, Buddha. Mm-hmm. Cameron, one of our listeners. Yeah, I couldn't think. Yeah, Cameron Buddha Brown, I think,
On Twitter.
Yeah, Luke and Laura. I just remember hearing that they were like real popular back in the days. You know, even just in the periphery, you know, you would just hear like Luke and Laura. And I think they lasted forever and ever, like years and years. They kept that shit going longer than, you know, a lot of other relationships. But, yes, power this after. This is what I've been feeling. I've been thinking like after Raising Kanan, you know, and even BMF. Just the storytelling on those two shows, you know, how kind of grounded they could be. You know what I mean? Like when we come back to Power, it's a lot more fantastical on a certain level. Liz, you gotta stretch. You gotta get back into your. You gotta, you know, freeze your disbelief when you fucking with the Power universe. When you're going back to the OG nucleus of the Power universe and everything that they want to do, and how some new shit would just pop up out of nowhere.
Like, what?
For no fucking reason. We ain't even finished what this was. You're this right. pop-up ain't even been... Man. So let's talk about it. I thought I had a bunch of notes. I hope I still got my Power notes. Or those shit's gone. But, you just binged, what was it, five episodes or six?
It's four.
Four episodes? Four. Okay, yeah. 4 hours of Power. What's your thoughts? Where you at? You lead it off. I'm right
well,
there
Well, I'm
going
to start it off by saying Tariq is still busy than a motherfucker. I mean, this nigga got more obligations than many people with no car.
He might be third call to reach. You know that man is a task rabbit. Yeah, man.
This nigga's task rabbit. This nigga got trying to get custody of his sister. He got a drug operation. He got three folk chicks he juggling. This nigga is doing his schoolwork, writing my man papers.
It's a whole
this nigga
lot
is
hustling.
Overextended.
Yeah. Nah, he's going.
But, you know, they kept it true to form. You know what I mean? Tariq is doing Tariq. Method Man is out here being, you know, the slimy lawyer that, you know, is everywhere. I mean, these people travel like it's, you know, like they got time machines and shit. They go out of one meeting and straight into jail. Like, God damn.
Ain't no traffic.
No traffic.
No traffic in the power universe. None.
No traffic in the power universe at all.
None.
So, you know, they, I mean, everything, it's like, you know how in a sitcom, they solve everything in 30 minutes. And then, and like in movies, you know, they 2 hours, they solve the whole life problem. And power, they solving shit scene by scene, my man. You know what I'm saying? One conversation solved. Bang! Yeah, it's done. We figured it out. Like, damn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody, I don't know how somebody got the code to this. Oh, well, the daughter had the code to the safe. I ain't tripping on that. That's what I was wondering at first. Like, damn, who got the code to the safe that quick?
Yeah,
nigga died for this shit. Like, they ain't even show us how he might have even got the code. For him to get his life took.
Yeah, that shit. Yeah, with his fucking ear off to the side. Did you see that shit? Right. Just his ear just off to the side, like as an afterthought.
They ain't showing Mary going to violence. But that boot was fly. Nah. That boot came in real fly on the side of his head.
It's all about opulence in the power universe. I mean, come on. They motherfuckers be fitted. Tariq is in school. This motherfucker is wearing $1,000 outfits. He remind me of, what's my man that always be like, oh, man, talk to me nice. Yo, how much your fit cost? Nah, I wish that nigga could be in the power generation just to do that. Everybody is walking up out of motherfucking Bergdorf on the regular, on the casual tip.
Well, but these are a bunch of drug dealers now.
True indeed. But I mean, you know, somewhat trying to be low, I would imagine. But I guess, you know, listen, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess that's what low is. Right. What's so funny, I'm just going to talk about a bunch of shit that just, you know, we'll just throw back and forth shit. Mm-hmm. One thing that struck me, there's a couple things that struck me, but one of the first things that struck me. So this is the first season where Young Yaz is actually getting some camera time. She's actually a real character.
Right.
She's not a silent baby. She is for real. And it's hilarious. What made me laugh most recently, Yaz talking about, yo, can you get me some scratch-offs next time you see me? Yo, you like, what, 10 years old? You want scratch-offs from the bodega? That, you don't need that. You want that more than your freedom.
Right.
You like, listen, I know I can't come live with you, but in the meantime, go ahead and get me some Lucky Sevens from down there at the store. Trying to try my luck.
But, you know, I guess they trying to say that she been living with grandma, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
and it's rubbing off on her already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
she old. She's young, old head.
I mean, she done been through a lot as a little toddler.
Yeah, man. You know, grandma's beating her in the corner store on camera. I thought about that. You talking about the surveillance camera, the trauma,
right?
Yeah,
she was always catching trauma and surveillance, man.
She was catching a bad one. Yeah, you almost disappointed if there's no trauma on the surveillance. If it's just some regular everyday shit, you like, well, why didn't use a different camera for this? This don't seem like it works with the fucking context. But what we talk about? So many storylines.
They moving fast too. But go ahead, Tariq.
They getting through. So Tariq, like you said, the man of many responsibilities, the multitask king. You know, he's out here trying to, I guess he gave up on his moms. Like at one point he was trying to stay in touch with her, but now I guess he's like, you know what, I gotta keep it moving. I gotta step into adulthood. I'm all the way in the game. But she was good as a mom's when I needed her.
But why he had to give her up though?
I don't know. I forget. Sometimes they do tell you what happens, but like to your point, shit moves so fast. There was some type of parable or something that kind of alluded to. Basically, I think it was even a Kanan flashback where it was like, you want to be in the game, you can't call your moms no more type shit. So it's kind of like, remember when I forget what murder it was, but remember when he had to burn his clothes in the incinerator way back in the day? It was like, well, now that he killed Jabari, now that he killed the professor, He done stepped into a whole nother realm, and mommy can't save you, so you might as well burn that SIM card and lose her contact, because it don't make no sense no more.
Right.
So
I mean, I understand burning the phone, because you got the text from Jabari and the bitch and all that shit, but you can still write your mama number down somewhere.
I guess he don't. Yeah, I don't even know if he know where his mom's is at.
No, he don't know where she's at, but I think her text, I don't know if he was just holding on to the text just to hold on to him. I think that's the one when she was in jail. Maybe she ain't got the same number no more.
Right. Maybe that's been disconnected. So there's what. So that's that. He's there was one scene where it's so much shit that goes on. So him and Lauren, you know, Lauren is so gullible. The shit is adorable. It's beyond adorable. It's sad, but it's like she just believe anything Tariq say. He's always on the horn. Anytime they having a real life conversation, he gotta click over. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He gotta go to the phone. Oh, listen, I'll holler at you in a little bit. I'm so sorry. I gotta holler at you though. But you know, I love you, baby. You know what I'm saying? And then he done turned their little secret space into the motherfucking stash spot. So now randoms is coming through their little haven of romance that she done had this shit kind of off to the side for as long as it was since her brother introduced it to her. It was real sacred.
Mm-hmm.
Now motherfuckers is just running through it. Random women, she coming through, random women is walking up out of there. She's like, yo, what's going on? He done pull her to the orphanage, you know what I'm saying, to see this little sister. He like, yo, all right, I'm going to tell you what's real. I'm going to show you what I'm dealing with. He pull up to the orphanage. He played that emotional string. She's, again, gullible as shit, helping him distract the, you know, the little social worker so he could slip yet another flip phone. I don't know where they copy these flip phones at, but he slide another flip phone in her little Teddy Ruxpin doll. You know what I mean? And, you know, she going now. He got a main line to Yaz. So Yaz is going to get more lines. You know what I'm saying? We'll see Yaz with more camera time. Mm-hmm. He's also, what else is going on? He's, Braden. He's an idiot.
I mean, he gung-ho. Even Kane, what's his name? Not Kanan. What's his nigga
Kane,
name?
Kane.
Yeah. That is too close.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is. A little IP
even discrepancy. Even he, everybody gullible in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Monet gullible with the helicopter nigga. And, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The
basketball nigga
is hella gullible. You know what I'm saying?
He get annoying, man. Because, I mean, after you done pointed out, like, everybody on that team is trash, there's no way that this man, like, I can't believe that this cat is really going to the league. You know what I'm saying? Like, he don't seem like, he does not feel like a prospect. We seen maybe three basketball scenes. Yaz has had more scenes than the basketball team, and this cat is supposed to be a prospect. I can't believe that. He's ridiculous.
Man.
Kane came in the door, snuffed Tariq, and then had a conversation with him. That was weird. Like, Tariq should have at least swung back. Or
Tariq
something.
Ain't never going to fight back. He, you know what I'm saying? He think. He don't fight.
He snuffed him right into a good thought. Right. A great idea. He was like, okay, I see
you know
your point.
What I'm saying? I said, that's how Tariq rolls. He's not going to fight him. You know he can't beat him.
Yeah.
And that's Kane's role. You know what I'm saying? Kane is bullying these little college niggas. Now, this the shit that tripped me out, though.
Yeah.
If we slide to the sneak announcement that, you know, the basketball nigga is, you know, whatever, you know, I don't know if I should spoil that or not, but.
Oh, no, I think people know how we do with power and shit. We back.
Right. So
let's talk about that.
Zeke is Monet's son, right?
Through homie.
Right, through homie. Well, I'm like, well, how the fuck old is Kane? You know what I'm saying? Like, if Zeke ain't nothing but about a sophomore in college because he leaving early to go to the league, either a freshman or a sophomore in college, that makes fucking Kane got to be 17, 18 years old. And he a full experienced killer, drug dealer, hustler, robber.
Right.
Come on, man. Y'all tripping.
Well, and also, that as you're saying that shit, we doing timelines. Drew and Zeke are on the same team. So what happened? Like, what's going? I mean, how she get pregnant twice, and nobody, and then one. Okay, so if Monet, if Zeke, if Kane, Zeke, Drew, and Diana all Monet's kids, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But three of them are through Lorenzo, mm-hmm. right? But then Zeke is through
Dante.
Dante, the weirdest gangster ever. We got to talk about that motherfucker. That nigga is ridiculous. But Drew and Zeke are on the same team. So that means they like in the same grade. Now he could be a year younger, maybe still
Drew? The brother?
Drew's the cat that got shot the brother that got shot.
On what team? Drew ain't on no team.
He's on the basket.
No, Drew boyfriend on the team, not him.
Oh, I'm tripping. Drew's boyfriend is on the team. Okay, right. But still, that's the same age. Okay, but my thing is also this.
All they ask is 16 years old at this point if we rocking with Zeke being the oldest.
But my also thing is how Mary carry this, can she carry Zeke to term and nobody sees, Kane ain't never see this, Drew didn't never see this
shit.
No,
Zeke Zeke the oldest is what I'm trying to say.
Supposed
to be older than everybody, so it's supposed to be before the Tejada cat. You know what I'm saying? I looked it up and was like, wait a minute, this timeline is off. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, gotcha, I'm thinking... Okay, I was thinking Zeke is younger because he's actually in school.
In college, that's what I'm saying.
The other ones are in the streets. They in the streets, so you feeling like they older. But to your point,
to be in high school then if fucking Zeke is the oldest. If he a junior, so 18, 19, mm-hmm. say he 20, and then mm-hmm. Kane is 19, that means Drew got to be 18, and at the worst case scenario, then little mama Diana is 17.
Right.
So.
Well, but you know, that kind of makes sense because Diana been talking this, I want to go to college shit.
Right.
So it sounds like she might have just graduated. And Diana seems like the prodigy of the three.
Mm-hmm.
So she might have graduated a good 16 years old. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? Because that's how when she's hanging out with Effie, you know, everybody like, damn, Ma, you smart. It's like she need to, college for her is like going to the league. They're like, how come you can't go to the league? You smart as shit. You right. like to think. She's like, I know, but it's off limits. You know, I got a drug dealer for a mom.
My moms want me to be a drug dealer.
right. She don't trust nobody else around the work.
I live in Queens and I make it to anywhere in no time flat.
Immediately.
And then they had the nerve when Tariq met up with Kane and Monet. Yeah. And then Monet pulled off, and then he was supposed to, then Kane signed them and pulled off. And he was like, damn, nigga, all this shit I do for the family, anybody ain't gonna offer me a ride?
Right.
That made me realize this nigga get all these places with no ride. You know what I'm saying? The reason he probably took old girl to the goddamn orphanage or whatever, the custody place, what they call that, CPS, he probably needed a ride.
Of course. It ain't Braden, it's her. He probably got a crazy Uber bill because he be moving. I can't see him on the train. You know what I'm saying?
We ain't never seen nobody move except for Braden in his new car and Kane in the range, Monet. Yeah. However, she rolling.
Speaking of whips, why did Monet smash that back window if she's just gonna go through the back door? She's just gonna go through the fucking back passenger side door. You ain't need to do all that. I know you want to be dramatic and all that, but you done smashed the shit out the window and then opened the door.
I get it. You know what I'm saying? Most cars lock automatically. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, how was, if she just opened the door, we would have been like, that's strange.
No, but she didn't. It wasn't like she smashed the back window and then put a hand in and opened the door. She smashed the back window, like the little trunk window. Wow. And then walked around. I thought it was the side window.
Maybe I'm looking at it wrong.
I think, I think I got to watch it again because I was like, that's odd. Why did she do, like, okay, I guess for dramatic effect, but that shit was unnecessary.
I thought the gun was the side window, but I can't promise, okay. I can't confirm nor deny.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot going on, man. It's entertaining. It's a lot going on. Come on. Yeah. At a certain point, I'm like, come on. Like, y'all just going to turn everybody in the blink of an eye. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. The teacher, it don't even add up how you building the case on the basketball cat. It's like, come on, man. What are you doing? Tate brother end up on the... Everybody done descended upon this campus, man.
Everybody.
the whole power universe has descended upon this little campus. Motherfucking... Word. What's his name from the club?
Stewart.
What's my name? Who gave Ghost the money? Stern.
I call him Stewart. Yeah, Stern. Yeah,
now we knew Stern was a good donor and all that shit, but now he got all kind of power. Everybody worked for him. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like everybody has just descended upon this little school.
This the hottest case in the entire city. And it's you know what I mean? And then it's all like surrounding. We don't want to fuck up Zeke's opportunity to go to the league, which, again, I don't see it for this man, dog. This shit don't seem... Nah, Zeke. And Zeke is so... He's such an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's smart sometimes, but then he's not, like... He could have been a little bit more aggressive about, yo, do you have anything on me? I'm not going to say nothing.
Man,
that little keeping him there all that time. Yeah, man, it's crazy. I don't know.
The realest line in this whole fucking shit was when Denise was like, "You think you gonna do it? You gonna be able to do it?" Then Monet was like, "What you think? Shit!"
Yeah, she always on her last nerve. Monet is forever on her last nerve.
You know he ain't gonna be able to do it. Dumbass.
Oh shit! Yeah, that shit was crazy.
The weird part is, if that's her son, you know what I'm saying? Who she blamed the baby on? Like, who is the sister or the brother? Or who's supposed to be his parents?
Who's supposed to be the aunt? Right? Yeah, they'll never see his parents.
How all these dark skinned babies come with all these Puerto Rican light skinned daddies?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious.
Now, genetics is a motherfucker, but she ain't got no light skinned kids.
Nah.
I mean, the Drew kind of, but not light enough to be, you know what I'm saying, a Tejada.
Right. Unless Tejada's mixed, unless he ain't all the way Puerto Rican. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe
it's just his mom's.
And then Tejada and Dante. They look like brothers.
They do look like brothers. I think that might be, that might be another little loop they're going to throw us for in a second.
You know what I'm saying? Look like the same character playing two roles. One with a beard, one without. You know what I'm saying? I am Dante.
Like Southside. Yeah, like the twins. Oh, shit. I tell you some other shit that, just some random shit. I get it or whatever. It was just some funny shit, but it was just so random. You're like, man, y'all get the fuck out of here. When Davis goes to see Redman and Jam,
right.
I said, "Oh shit! Oh, these niggas about to perform Rock Wilder at Rikers." It's like, oh, this is silly.
I guess they've been doing little shit like that for the social media because the cat who played Kane and the cat who played Dante, I think, both went to FAMU.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I think they're trying to be pairing up shit, huh?
The crazy gangster went to FAMU?
Yeah, I think that's what I heard. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Interesting.
I ain't never known him, but I heard he went to FAMU. Yo,
he's so ridiculous. They kind of toned it down over these last couple episodes, but them first two episodes, He was doing too much to prove himself. Like how he started. That was the first scene. Mm-hmm. When they coming up out the spot, he got the shotgun and they think he might be, you know, mm-hmm. some type of cop. Mm-hmm. He wound up mopping the floor with everybody, shooting everybody. Then at the party, he done choked his man out. I think that chef, I don't know, for a hot second, we ain't seen the chef no more, but for a hot second, I was like, that chef a little something more than a chef.
Yeah, the chef, you know, is definitely like, something different. Both of them niggas is something, you know what I'm saying, Federale style.
They could be cops. They could be cops after all of this saying? Shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's him and his partner, the chef. Yeah. He just cooking sushi every night?
Every night, same. It's like his meditation. That nigga, I ain't never seen him move. No, he ain't never jump in the fridge to grab some shit. Yeah. His whole little mise en place is always in place. Mm-hmm. This nigga is the illest. Put his little AirPods in when some shit go down.
That's about the same thing as the goddamn mama on Raising Kanan.
With bingo.
The plug. Yeah, the bingo. And he put her ear, he cut her goddamn ear shit off. Like, that is the stupidest shit ever.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's dumb. You just trusted this motherfucker listening to some type of fucking K-pop or whatever.
Hey, mama, I'm going to cut your hearing device off. Business.
I'm going to disrespect your whole disability.
Your whole life. You ain't raised me. You ain't pushed me out your womb. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm gonna just cut this shit off.
Shit about to go dark for you on the audio tip. Just, you know what I mean?
You'll
we're
be
still
back
here.
Online
you can see
soon.
Everything. And don't read our lips, ma. Don't be reading lips. And nigga turn his back to his mom's.
Like, who that supposed to make feel comfortable? The other person or the mama? Right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. How'd that conversation start? You know I gotta start shutting down your hearing aid. You've been hearing too much. what else is going on? So I think we jumped across all of the little plot points. I'm sure there's some shit that is happening.
We ain't talk about the teacher. Oh girl.
Oh yeah, Kadi Dot. Yeah. Like, what you called? Wrapped up with everybody. Kadi Dot.
Tadi Dot.
Kadi Dot.
That's her name.
Kadi Dot. Kadi Dodd, yeah.
Kadi Dodd? What are you saying?
Kadi Dodd.
You got a real ass Washington Heights accent, nigga.
I got to it. Kadi Dodd. Yeah, you know. Kadi Dodd. Kadi Dodd is, I mean, it's a.
That's a real name?
There's a bunch of them up here. Yeah, I don't know. No, her real name is something, Michelle.
Oh, her character name is Kadi Dodd.
Yeah, her character name is that. Yeah.
Okay, learn something new every day. But they just got her all over the place with the sex addiction and all her niggas is converging, you know what I'm saying, on the scene for the
everybody.
Plot point.
She done fucked with everybody. Everybody that got a lead on the case, she done been with them. Oh, yeah. Though I know old Caddy is on the case. Oh, yeah.
Caddy,
yeah,
dog.
Exactly. Hilarious. Yeah, so she out there.
She's working with the feds. Sometimes I used to work in law enforcement.
Right. That
trying to get herself off the case, knowing she ain't did shit. So why you cooperate? Mm. Like, why don't you get you a lawyer?
I'm ready for her to shoot somebody. Because if she used to be a cop, like, don't set it up for her not to get her to bust her gun one time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like if you know, especially now that Monet pressing you, it would be a hell of a turn. I don't think it's going to happen. But if Kadi Dodd put one in Monet, that would be interesting. Because Monet been kind of coming for her. It's about the second time that she done really aggressively, you know, leaked on her.
Yeah.
And now if Kadi Dodd used to be in the force, she used to be on the force, it means she got a little gunplay action, mm-hmm. you know. Let's see if she could do something.
Now,
you know.
I will say this.
Go ahead.
Mary J is stepping more into her role. You know what I'm saying? Her acting has improved. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I believe her a lot more times than I used to. You know what I mean?
Okay.
When she said that, what you think he gonna do? You know what I'm saying? That was a real moment. That was like, I feel you. You know what I'm saying? She still be doing a whole lot of, you know what I'm saying, wonderment face acting, but you know, it's all good. Okay. It's all good. She working. I could see the progress. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now Kadida has usually been solid, but when Monet bust that window, put the gun to her head, that crying was very Issa Rae-ish.
What you mean? The tears didn't drop.
They didn't drop. It wasn't believable. The precipice. Like, you know, like Issa. Like Issa when she play her roles, but when she try to get dramatic and cry like on the drama tip, then it gets right. It's almost comedy. You know what I'm saying? She's getting better. She's getting better. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Well, I've said this on the cast before, so people don't act like I'm disparaging Issa Rae. Man, you know what I'm saying? I was an original.
They know what it is.
I'm an original fan of Issa Rae. You know what I'm saying?
Right. From the YouTube era.
That crying, be like, come on, stop it. And Cardi died, she didn't hit that crying. That was like, oh, come on, now. It was like a tee-hee. But that was it. I didn't catch that. All that other shit, you know what I'm saying? Method Man is you know what I'm saying, growing into his middle-age acting career. It's great. You know what I'm saying?
On his Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, on his Johnny Cochran tip.
Definitely just gouging these motherfuckers for money. Talking about, yo, nah. We gonna get your little sister. Don't worry about it, but I'm gonna need some cash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Was that $1 million for the sister? Who do you want a million
for? For Zeke.
For Zeke, yeah, to keep Zeke out of jail. Right. We need $1 million and this nigga's still in jail. Zeke walk off. It's some bullshit. And y'all know this some bullshit. That shit was hilarious. I don't know.
He did an R. Kelly. A lot of little silly R. Kelly.
Yeah. Right. R. Kelly and Gayle shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Oh, man. Fuck it. What's her name wearing the damn wire with the Rolex?
Come on, that shit ridiculous.
That shit
like,
is silly.
Like Tyreek smart ass ain't gonna notice you took the Rolex off. He noticed it when you walked in with it.
Big ass Rolex on all of a sudden.
Oh, your parents gave you yeah. I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'm not gonna turn on no water. I'm not gonna flush no toilets. I'm just gonna go in there and then I'm gonna come out
without the big Rolex. Yeah, man, that shit is hilarious.
Stop it.
This shit is the sky.
But I thought she was supposed to be taking that to her girlfriends. Why is she taking that shit to Tariq's house?
She trying to take everybody down because I think, I don't know, I guess she trying to get whoever she could get. You know what I'm saying? It don't make no sense to take it to Tariq's house. And she ain't been over her homegirl's house. So, you know, Cardi Dodd got to wear in the wire. Who knows, man? But, yeah, man, you made a smooth transition to Issa Rae, so we might as well respect that. We're done for Power for right now. You know what I mean? No need to double back. We'll be back to Power next week.
I like calling out the transition.
it was cool. I was like, nigga, they didn't respect the pick and roll. They didn't respect the pick and roll. Like, nigga, I just did the screen. I hit the screen. Oh, shit. Yeah, man, Issa Rae, Insecure, season 5, just a couple episodes left.
The resume season.
Yeah, I guess so. This is the resume season. This is definitely hitting the fadeaway on us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Definitely hitting the fadeaway. I almost forgot what happened on this episode. That's where we at this point. Like, okay, Crenshaw comes back.
She's contemplating her future life.
Nathan really
loves her now.
Right.
Motherfucking Molly got the will done.
Molly got some wings and Molly wine.
On the very thoughtful tip. I appreciate him because they never give the black man a real nice gesture in this show. So I appreciate the gesture where you can get it, and they actually are good. I think they'll be good together. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate that. You know?
Okay.
Issa is well overdressed from her little budget right now, and her on her little super salary, but we gonna ignore that.
Well, because I couldn't really always tell, because oftentimes it was dreamlike sequence. So, like, there'd be times when she's popping, so maybe she was dressed for how she should be if she would be as popping. Like, the dream sequences, they were a little, like, they didn't really show, like, any, they wasn't really, like, doing a nod to it. You just kind of, after a while, you realize, oh, okay, this must be a dream. Like, it wasn't no, not that I need a do-do-do-do-do-do-do, but it could have been a little something to kind of say, but this ain't real.
But I caught on to it, you know what I'm saying, because they've done these dream sequences in this show before. With her and Lawrence getting married that time. So they've done them, you know what I mean? When she's contemplating her future. I just think these particular dream sequences are, I mean, could possibly be. I'm just on my own little tangent right now. Could possibly Go be ahead. Her contemplating her own career decisions that she's made thus far. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you got people from the Awkward Black Girl era and the YouTube era that may say, you know, you should have stayed more in this lane. You know what I'm saying? Then she chose.
So you're saying Issa Rae, not Issa D.
Yeah, Issa Rae. In her,
okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
This season feels like a resume season. Like, let me contemplate some shit on screen that, you know. Yeah. And I'm just, I don't know if this to be true. You know what I'm saying? I'm just a nigga over here talking shit. And we have power in. You know what I mean? Shit.
Yeah. I'm just out Let it go.
Yeah, so anyway, I think that the contemplation of, hey, should I go mainstream and take this mainstream route? Or should I go my grassroots route that really got me here? You know what I'm saying? Is a contemplation that she had to have in her real career. You know what I'm saying? Because she had a grassroots movement with Awkward Black Girl. And then she transitioned, pivoted, boom, and went into a more of a
bag.
Mainstream, got the bag, was everywhere on the covers, you know what I'm saying? Looking good, flying first class. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's a contemplation of, you know, how her career went within this particular season. You know?
I could see that. I could also see on another, like, just on a more, like, just insecure focus level, too, we getting in the realm of, I mean, it's not the last episode or whatever, but it's like kind of like these alternate endings. It's kind of like trying to your point, satisfy the appetites of these maybe varied audiences. Mm-hmm. And it's like also we come into the end and we realize that it's harder than it seems to stick the landing. Right. And I also think I'm curious, and I said this at the top of the season, I'm really curious how much COVID impacted a lot of the shit. Like, I know they were doing, like, Zoom. I think they were doing, like, a Zoom writing room, you know, which is probably a lot different than when y'all all up in the room and it's, like, a real vibe, going back to the whole vibe check. Mm-hmm. If you're just in a box at the crib trying to survive a pandemic, you know, the banter might not be as lively. Things might not get challenged as much because it ain't, you know, could come across a little colder than if we in the room and we could, you know what I mean, give each other, you know what I mean, take a moment to pull up on somebody, give them a pound. Yo, you know, I was saying that, but, you know, ain't no disrespect, whatever, whatever. I just felt like, you know, we could do something else. I think people were probably pressed for time, maybe. Mm-hmm. I still wouldn't be surprised if some of these people's availabilities wasn't as open as what they were, or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot, I think COVID may have impacted it. I'm giving it benefit of the doubt, may have impacted it, because I just feel like could have been a little bit more, not even risky, but, oh man, what's the word? Like, just a little bit more robust of a season. You know what I'm saying? Like, we could have got more from the actual main characters. Mm-hmm. Maybe some iller storylines, a little bit more, like, some things that we couldn't have seen coming, some things that didn't feel like we've already seen these things. Like, this Nate storyline, Crenshaw storyline, like, I don't know where they going. Like, I don't know if he's the ghost of hood, you know, hood pass. You know, like, I'm like, this most recent is kind of like giving me a little bit of like, I don't know if he's like some old, like some Nipsey Hussle type vibes. You know what I mean? Like he's, you know, I'm thinking Crenshaw, Slauson. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be rooted in the streets. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I'm out here. I'm building right. my own thing. Da 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 da. Like, yeah. you know, I know Issa really was inspired by him.
Right. And, you know, and he got the he's trying to do that little Crip, not the Crip walk dance, but that walk that the Crips be doing. It's like a like when they take a step, it's like a dip. When they, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. A dip before they come back to the next step. Snoop do it. Nipsey do it. It's like, it's like a, it's a, I don't know if it's a LA thing or a Crip thing, but he was, he was doing it. He had his own shop doing his own thing. So yeah, it could be a Nipsey Hussle inspiration. You know, I guess, you know, Crenshaw couldn't get murdered out here. I don't know. But
that don't happen. That it just seemed like that was some power shit. Like that don't even seem like it would be like for what? Like you ain't even
That would be crazy.
But who knows?
But
right. Maybe the whole shit ending in gunfire on some Reservoir Dog shit. Right. Everybody just pull a gun on each other.
Right. But you know
that would be great.
I think I'm not mad at what they're doing. Uh-huh. It's not as entertaining as it has been, but I see, you know what I'm saying, the beauty in what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? They're highlighting some things that they're projecting black imagery that, you know what I'm saying, doesn't necessarily always get projected, and I'm a fan of that type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm rocking with
propaganda.
That. It's just not as entertaining, and I think that they're just laying up. What's next, you know?
Yeah. Then, you know, and it's like, now go ahead.
No, it's like, I think, you know, for Issa's character, you know, we haven't got any indication of why her wardrobe also all of a sudden became so flashy and fancy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, oh, damn, she just, you know what I'm saying? I know they brought in a new stylist this season. Old girl who used to be at the magazines and shit from Bermuda.
Shiona.
Yeah, Shiona from Bermuda. So,
You know. Oh, she wasn't never. I thought she'd been on there.
She not new? I thought she was new.
I don't think so.
The whole dress code switched. Yeah. She like Capadonna this season. You know what I'm saying? Every other show, my whole dress code switch.
Yeah, they might have got a mean bag. They might have got a nice little upgrade in the budget, you know. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Good reference. But you know, also to that point, I do think, and then they got the documentary. I saw the trailer for the documentary where they kind of put the whole thing in perspective and what it meant to the culture and all of that.
What documentary?
And there's gonna be a okay, bye, you know, whatever. It's like the Insecure, it's finale documentary. I think it comes out the day after Christmas.
Oh, really?
Issa put it up on her IG. She put the trailer for it. So it's kind of like, you know, everybody, right, reflecting on what they did, how they presented people, how everybody on the cast got along and all of that shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think this is the thing. I think that Issa Rae and by proxy, everybody that's related in the Insecure family and universe, there's a level of, she's beloved. Like she got a diehard fan base. Like we said, there's many people that have been there since the YouTube era. And to see her get the bag was inspiring. Mm-hmm. And even to switch sensibilities a couple times and maybe elevate, you know what I mean? It made it good. And all of the moments that people had on Twitter about the show and going back and forth and what it meant culture-wise is why so many people are giving it the benefit of the doubt for this season. Mm-hmm. But it's like mad people feel like this is a weak season. You know what I'm saying? And it's like people don't really want to. I mean, if you look on Twitter, motherfuckers, this, people are being more and more vocal as the episodes as the season goes by. Yeah, because it's kind of like, it's like one of your favorite rappers put out a whack album, and you like, that's still my man's though. This nigga got cataloged, you know what I mean? And they put out another, you know, the next single kind of weak. Then it might be an okay single, but then you're like, you still, you can't really, you don't want to go all the way out there. And it's not even about a hot take or anything, but just off of the respect of the bricks that they laid, you don't want to be like, this shit mad. You know what I'm saying? But the rumblings are getting louder and louder. Like, I'm seeing this shit on Twitter. People like, I know this shit. This ain't what it used to be because nobody even argue on Twitter no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I know this ain't all that because I totally forgot it came on tonight. You know, we got way more black people talking about Succession than talking about Insecure on a Sunday. Mm. You're like, what? You know what I mean? It's like kind of, hey.
Disrespectful.
You know? I mean, you know, it's hard to stick that landing. And again, benefit of the doubt, I think COVID might have, you know, maybe played an issue or whatever. But or maybe just the fact that she got, you know, the rap shit coming, and hopefully that's fire or whatever. But like, to your point, this has been definitely more of a mumblecore, more of a mature, more of a, there's not a, it's not the most dynamic season. It's not a whole lot of shit that's happening. It's more like a lot of things being said, a lot of emotions being, you know, evoked or whatever, and a lot of the resume, you know, being padded. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But we got a couple more episodes, so we'll see how it all ends and shit. You know what I mean? Shit, Game of Thrones didn't go out like that.
Nah,
you know what I
mean?
Seinfeld didn't go
weak.
Out like that. You know what I mean? Seinfeld kind of had a bad go out. Shit, people still look at the Sopranos ending, and you know, it's polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
I mean,
shit,
I
that
think,
shit harder.
I think at the end, you know, it's run its course. You get the last
yeah, history
bag.
History do it well.
You do what the fuck you want to do on this last episode, the shit that you wasn't able to do throughout the run. And you take the chances that you weren't necessarily able to take. You know, it's the last season. Ain't no real pressure on it. You project some of the images you want to project. And you get the fuck out of there. Go to the next shit.
Yeah. And honestly, plus they're going to have a documentary that's just going to reframe the whole shit. It's going to be, you're going to realize how important it was.
Mm-hmm.
And to be totally honest with you, you know, they got more seasons that were better than this season. So in retrospect, and you know, as it, and you know, as you look back on it, it'll be well, it'll be one of those things that'll get way more love in retrospect than, you know, like after this whatever, the maybe the expectations, we'll see what happens at the end, depending on how it all closes out. But after this season sums up, the totality of Insecure, still, like, this shit is still a big show. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could afford a season that isn't what it could have been. You know what I'm saying? It's just unfortunate that it's the last season. You know what I'm saying? Because if this was the second season on some Wire shit, then it might be a little different. People are like, yeah, you could skip the second season. You know what I mean? But this is how you're going out. So it's kind of interesting.
You could stop on four and just go to the season five finale, and you got it.
Yeah. Because that's what motherfuckers would tell you. They'd be like, yeah. Niggas would tell you how to navigate through a show, what you need to do. Okay, so watch that. But then, yeah, you could skip them first such and such. Yeah. But,
All right.
But, go ahead. You got any predictions for either Power or Insecure before we get up out of here?
Yeah, Power is unpredictable.
Oh, shit.
With Insecure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to predict Insecure.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I don't like my options.
Right.
So I'm just ride them out. Molly will be with the lawyer guy. You know what I'm saying? Every old girl will move to Denver. Issa mm-hmm. will be alone. It look like they about to jump goddamn Lawrence, but we gonna see.
Who?
Shit, you ain't see the preview?
Nah, I missed the preview. Oh, I gotta watch the preview. I missed the preview. Okay.
Preview, you know what I'm saying? They had the, you know what I'm saying? They got the little going away party for the Denver crew. And then little light skin and his cousin is like, the cousin like, I don't like that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Nate and his cousin?
Yeah, Nate is like,
oh yeah, shit.
Her Issa X is in there. And then the cousin like, I don't like that shit. Like, he wanted to bust a move.
Or some old belly shit. Remember that
right,
shit?
I don't like that shit. I don't like that shit.
Oh, man.
So I might have to drop down on them niggas. Like, they might go jump the nigga or something when he should have fired on the nigga in the barbershop.
I was about to say, he's still
taking your rage out on Lawrence.
Yeah, he's still holding that shit. He got that shit, that misplaced anger. He about to, that nigga is hilarious, man. That shit is the funniest shit, dog. If that nigga, that would be the biggest fucking, like, just the wildest turn of the whole shit. This nigga Nate, this wasn't even fucking with him. This nigga stomped Lawrence out at the very end. That's how it end. He like, yo, what the fuck was that? I really hope they have a very chaotic ass ending where like niggas would just turn it off jarred. Like, yo, what the fuck was that? Like, that would be that would really redeem the whole shit, all the mumblecore shit. That shit just got super violent on some fucking when they stomp Stacy out and Menace. You know what I mean? Like, just really just gave it to this motherfucker, and that's how I go off. And that's what a Tuesday looked like in Inglewood. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, though.
What you said? Stomp Stacy out and Menace?
Stacy was
their homeboy, the dark skinned cat that had the vert.
What's my man's name that was running back and when he was
he
running?
He was Arlena's cousin. I don't know his name.
Oh, I thought his name was Stacy. I'm my bad. He was looking side to side.
Yeah, Stacy that's was, Arlena's Stacy? Cousin. Stacy is the dark skinned one that drove the vert.
That's the one that was always about the knowledge and all of that shit.
Nah. Stacy, he was cool. He was like kind of heavy set a little bit, dark skinned. He was a cool cat. He won. Yeah, Stacy was he was the one when the cat who had the knowledge. He was like, man, you always be on that knowledge shit, that Farrakhan shit. You know what I'm saying? He was cool. Like, he wasn't in nobody way. He made a lot of sense. Very pragmatic character.
Yeah. Let us know. Give us a character check on that cat that I'm talking about that got stomped out. We gotta find
Arlena's cousin.
Arlena's cousin. Yeah.
Man. Yo, I'm Arlena's cousin. I don't like that shit you was saying to her. Oh, we about to fight about a bitch?
I haven't seen that shit in years, man. I gotta watch that again. I ain't seen that shit in years. Man, old Councilman Tate.
Nigga, Councilman slick Tate. And slickery, nigga.
Hell yeah. The red table maven. Yeah, man, that is a long way away. Yeah, I gotta check that shit out. Anyway, man, I think it's time to transform and roll out. So, as always, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We out.